All right, John chapter 15. Let's jump back in there. It's been 5 months or so. A long time, isn't it? But John 15, we'll read the first 17 verses, and then we'll review a little bit and try to catch up, and then I guess it'll be time to go. But we'll just try to review and get us back on track. But Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." And then the third, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You know, it's interesting, as I was going back over this week, Jesus knew he was getting ready to die, but the disciples didn't. And yet he's saying, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. In his mind, he knows where he's going, but they don't yet. And then he says, you are my friends. So he just said, no, greater love is no one than you lay down your life for his friends. And then he says, you're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So just kind of putting back in perspective where we are, chapter 14, we look at the way of the Father and the throne of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15 is all about the vine and the branches, and then verses 18 through the end, actually into 16 a little bit, is the world's hatred toward believers, and that's where we're going to wrap up with the vine and branches, get into that. Then chapter 16, Jesus is going to teach his disciples about the Holy Spirit. 17, Jesus praying for his own. 18 through 21, you have the crucifixion and the resurrection. So it's kind of mapping out the rest of the gospel for you. If you, again, just by way of remembrance, because it's been a long time, when we looked at chapter 15 here, we have three parts of the vineyard. We have the vine, the branches, and the gardener. And we said the function of the vine is to give life to the branches, and that's representative of Christ. Then we have the branches, which are the disciples of Christ, those that are following him. Their job is to bear fruit and carry on the ministry of Christ. And then the gardener, or the vine dresser, is God the Father himself. And he is the one that is pruning. He is the one that's hauling away. He is the one that's burning the rubble and the branches that are not producing fruit. And so that's all in the control of God. Christ is there to give nourishment and strength and to enable us as true disciples then to bear fruit and to carry forward the ministry that Christ began. So Jesus is going into detail here in verses 12 through 17 more about what true love really looks like. And again, as we said, his disciples, I'm sure at this point, they didn't really understand where he was going with this. Why he was going down this thought process with them, because his death was the ultimate demonstration of love. And he was going to show them that. But at this point, they didn't understand that. They didn't realize what he was doing. And again, for us, You know, I really think it's easy for us to say, you know, I would die for my wife, I would die for my child, I would die for, you know, whoever. But I think at some point, you know, when that moment is there, there's going to be a little doubt. There's going to be just a second of questioning of that. Because within us and within our humanity, there is still a fear or a maybe not a fear, maybe that's not a good word. There is this, you know, we don't want to endure pain. You know, and you know, if I take the bullet for someone, or you know, if they're going to persecute me, or if they're going to torment me, it's going to hurt. And so we don't look forward to that. You know, it's not something that we would volunteer to do, you know, in and of ourselves. And yet Christ here is saying, and we know that Christ in his humanity, even, you know, he didn't look forward to this. You know, as we'll see later on in John, you know, he prays three times, you know, God, let this cup pass from me. You know, I don't want to do this in my humanity. And so for us to say, you know, I'm anxious, I'm fear, you know, I fear that, the pain and all of that, Christ did as well. You know, he struggled with that. And yet he said, not my will, but yours be done. And that's kind of what we were talking about just a moment ago. In our answering our little question there for the class, you know, that the fact that, you know what, no, we none of us enjoy going through that, the carrying our cross and the hardships and the persecution and the tribulation, but we find as going through that we do have a peace and a rest. We have the assurance that Christ or God, the Holy Spirit, is with us as we go through those things. And so this verse 13, he had introduced to the disciples the ones that he loved and called them disciples. And why was that unique? All right, or you know, he called them disciples because they were followers. And in this era of today, if you were a disciple, technically, what were you? A student, really, it was more of a servant. I mean, they mimicked everything the master did, you know, and they just served him. And yes, they were learning from him, but they were serving him. They were mimicking them. They were doing all this. And so now Christ changes from that. And he says, you know what? No longer are you my servants. No longer are you have to copy everything I do. He says, now I'm going to call you my friends. And so in just, you know, like one verse, he elevates them from, you know, you are my servant to now you're my friend. And he says, because you're my friend, you know, he says, what? I've told you everything you need to know. I've told you everything the Father's told me to tell you.
That is not something that happened with the teachers.
Right, yes. It was never, they never did that.
You sat underneath a known teacher, particularly within the Jewish, the rabbis, they were elevated, and yep, nobody was even close to a rabbi.
Right, and even if you became a rabbi, they were still a higher rabbi.
Right.
You know, so they would never call you an equal. They would never call you a friend. And so, again, you know, we've got to put ourselves in the text, in the narrative, and imagine being one of the disciples there. You know, as Jesus is talking, and you don't know the end. You know, we know the end. We know all that. But they don't. And so now all of a sudden, you know, I'm sure they're, again, their minds are just exploding with this thought of, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, you're not my servant. You're not my student anymore. Now you're my friend. You're my equal of sorts. And so now they're just like, you know, like, why are you saying that? You know, you're the teacher. You're the master. You know, how can we be equal with you? And then it's interesting because right after that, what does he say? You know, he says, now you're my friends. And then he says, as my friends, what? Obey me. Obey my commands. Do what I've told you to do. And the point here is that the obedience to the commands of Christ defines what it means to be the friend. So it's not, you know, it's not, well, you know, you have all the education that I have, so now you're my equal. you know, or you have all the social status that I have, so now you're my equal. No, Jesus's point was, if you obey and do all that I've commanded you to do, and you're obeying my teachings, then at that point, you are my equal. At that point, you are truly a friend, a truly among me, because you're doing what I've told you to do, and you're obeying me and doing that. And so because Jesus had told them everything he heard from the Father, that's why he considered them as his friends. And so it's interesting because it shows that Christ trusted them to receive this and then to pass that on and to continue spreading the gospel. You know, and that's what the Great Commission, Pastor talked on that, was it this past Sunday night ago, whatever, about, you know, the Great Commission. You know, it's interesting. Butch was telling me he visited his Debbie's sister's church, which is Pentecostal, and, you know, the pastor came over for lunch, I think, and they were having a discussion, and the pastor of the Pentecostal church told Butch, because Butch brought up the Great Commission, and he says, well, you know, we don't really believe in that. That was only for the apostles, and that's not for us today. And, you know, we're not commanded to do that. That was just for them, which I found very interesting and enlightening. And so, you know, according to verse 16, he says, I've chosen you and appointed you. And we'll jump into that next week with being chosen and appointed, because it's very interesting that he uses both of those words. So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the time in your word. Thank you for a great discussion this morning as well. And it's always a joy to hear your people speak truth and to share things that are a blessing and to encourage us. And I know I was encouraged this morning and just helped to see things a little bit differently as well. And so I pray that as we go forth this week, that you would, through the Holy Spirit, empower us, that you would help us, as Clarissa said, to renew our minds and to allow ourselves to be conformed to the image of your Son and to be more like you. Help us to be Christ to those that we meet this week. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.